Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Bay LA Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Benz, alongside Roman Pombesti. How you doing, my friend?
How you doing, man? I'm good.
Doing good. We'd be doing better if the Warriors got a victory last night, but that's what we're here to talk about. So let's just get right into it. Warriors fall to the Timberwolves, 107-90. At home in the first game of a two-game mini-series, I would call it. They play again on Sunday. Roman, paint the picture for us here.
Well, first quarter looked like it was going to be a close game. Warriors playing good defense. I mean, the first quarter was just a lot of offense for both teams. There's a lot of efficiency there. It was nice to see. I thought that was going to kind of set the tone and set the pace for the rest of the game. But the Warriors have been struggling to find offensive consistency and rhythm in especially this last stretch of games. They kind of have these moments where everything just kind of falls apart for them. And that's kind of what happened again last night with the Warriors. They lost their rhythm. The Timberwolves are doing great on the defensive end. I think in their past like 4 or 5 games, they've held teams between like 80 and 90 points, keeping them under 100. Like they're playing really good defense. So it was kind of expected that it was going to be a tough defensive game on both ends. But yeah, Warriors just made a lot of mistakes in the second half, especially, and the game just slipped away after a while. And yeah, there's a lot to talk about in that second half.
Yeah, just looking at the numbers here. Fourth quarter, the Warriors were only managed to put up 18 points. And against a team like the Timberwolves, who started off the season pretty rough, but now, especially like you were just talking about the last 4-game stretch, like they're kind of starting to figure it out. And I feel like the standings are kind of starting to shape out a little bit. That's just, 18 points against a team like the Timberwolves, where they got star-powered Anthony Edwards, Julius Randle's a guy, and they got other capable scorers as well. But it's just not going to get it done, especially when they turn over the ball as much as they do, which is something that I want to address a little bit. The turnover trouble with the Warriors as of late has been quite egregious.
Yeah. It's been pretty difficult to watch, and I don't want to blame it solely on the injury to DeAnthony Melton, but not having that like true point guard who can run the offense, distribute the ball effectively without turning it over.
Yeah.
Like that is proving to be a massive hole in this roster right now. And I was pretty concerned at the start of the game when I was seeing Pods and Steph start, and I don't envy Steve Kerr trying to navigate this roster right now with these guards, with the lack of ball handlers, ball distributors. But that was concerning to see that, because I was like, who's going to be in the second unit? Who's going to be running the point for this second unit? But Draymond came off the bench.
Yes.
And that was kind of interesting to see. But man, like Draymond running the point, that's not your ideal scenario for the second unit when you have a lot of guys that aren't really capable of just generating their own offense all the time.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say, like, as of late, the second unit or like the bench as a whole is not really contributing on the offensive end as much as the starters are. I mean, it kind of just seems like they're having trouble on offense as a whole, but the drop off is quite steep when you just look at the numbers. The only scorer in double digits coming off the bench last night was Draymond with 10 points. And then after you got Lindy with 6, Kyle Anderson with 4, Buddy Hield with 4. And then just kind of, gets lower and lower from there, but.
Yeah, 6 of those 10 points for Draymond, that came in his first 2 possessions when he came off the bench. Yeah, he had a layup with an and-one foul, hit the free throw, next possession down the floor, hits a three. 6 points real fast. And I was I was cool with it. I thought that that was going to be like, okay, if Draymond's going to be this offensive like kickstart for the second unit, that's fine. That can
totally
work. But I mean, back to the turnover troubles with the second unit, it was just a lot of miscommunications, balls just getting thrown wildly, just unnecessary, just down the court throws, where it's just like, why are we pushing that hard?
Like, that's what's kind of driving me crazy, is like the crazy passes. Like, everyone's trying to throw like a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
When it's like, just get the first down, you know, just make just get the, you know, get the yardage, like make the easy play, make the simple play. But
yeah, just cross half court, just manage to get the ball across half court. That's all, without throwing it away. But yeah, I mean, that's just an issue with the roster right now. I don't think it's really a fundamental issue with how they're running the offense. I think it's just the fact that they don't have like that type of distributor on the floor for them right now. Yeah. And in a way they're trying to make up for that by forcing these types of unnecessarily risky passes to generate quick offense, but
right. Instead of quality offense.
Yeah.
And to add real quick, Moses Moody did not play last night. He was out with a knee injury, which I think, you know, not that Moses Moody is known as like a primary ball handler and distributor, but I think he gives the team some sort of like offensive consistency with the second unit. Like, he's kind of always had like a steady hand, and like, you can rely on him to like make his shots, and sometimes they don't go in, but he's not going to take bad shots.
Yeah, you know almost exactly what you're going to get out of Moody when he plays, and that's why he's such a safe option to kind of move around in the rotations, where it's like, okay, I can guarantee that Moody is going to play like this. He is going to like stay in this play style. He's going to operate like this, and that kind of gives him that flexibility with moving him around. But yeah, I wish we had a chance to see him last night, just as another option to maybe get some more offense. But yeah, it was, I mean, hell, just looking at Steph Curry with 23 points, he had to fight tooth and nail to get that 23.
Yeah.
That was a very, very difficult game for him.
Yeah. The Timberwolves, they're a big team. And as we all know, like, the Warriors have been, they're a small team. And
yeah.
But what makes the Timberwolves so tough is like, the tenacity they play with, and you know, I'm not a huge Rudy Gobert, I don't know if the word is believer, but so he is a really good defensive player, but like,
yeah,
he definitely made his presence felt
absolutely
against the Warriors, and it makes me curious to see what adjustments this team makes going into Sunday's game. Like, is Moses Moody going to play? Like, how does that change things? Is Draymond Green going to be back in the starting lineup? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, Draymond talked a little bit about that in regards to Kuminga starting in his place. And he referenced that Draymond, when he was getting starts early in his career, it was at veterans taking a spot on the bench instead and letting Draymond get that start to kind of get him kind of in that flow of getting regular starter minutes, being a part of the offense more. And he referenced that was kind of the intention behind him going to the bench for Kuminga, is getting Kuminga more involved, Kuminga more of a focus for the offense because of how much they believe in Kuminga. And that's been something that this organization has been talking about for a very long time, is their commitment to him and their desire to see him reach that next level for them. And Steph Curry talked about it as well in his post-game press conference.
Yeah, it seems like the last couple games, especially, I mean, Kuminga's been on a very good streak of games for, seems like a little over a week now, even though they haven't been winning games, but like, he's been playing well, and he's been coming, you know, he's been in the starting lineup, he's been coming off the bench, and he's been producing. The Rockets game, especially, he had his career high, I believe, with where are the numbers here? 33 points.
Yeah, 33.
With 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Like a very solid outing. They won the game too, 93-99, which put an end to their rough losing streak, which they just started a new one last night. But but you saw like Steph and Draymond's reaction to Kuminga getting these like clutch late game buckets. Like you could see that they like, you know, the excitement, and like they're bringing him up, you know. And I think that's so huge. It just kind of goes to show like who Steph and Draymond are as like people and leaders. But like, yeah, it definitely feels like they're making a larger effort, especially a larger effort than they've made in the past, to commit to Jonathan Kuminga and to really see, like, you know, how high can he jump, literally and figuratively.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I mean, it just reminds me of, I'll say it reminds me of Jordan Poole.
Not that's a bad thing. We're Jordan Poole fans here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I got his jersey in the closet, man. He'll always be a Warrior for me.
He's a legend.
But I just wish there was a little bit of that. Not just that there wasn't, but I wish there was a sustained effort to support and like bring up Jordan Poole even after all that had transpired between him and Draymond, because I know we're going back in time. We're throwing a hypothetical.
All right.
If Jordan Poole was still on the team, and if Jordan Poole got better from his worst year in 23, to maybe if he just got a little bit back to his 22 season, like if he got back to that point and Kuminga's growing and developing, then you have this point guard for the future with this forward of the future who is super athletic and has a lot of potential. Like I hate going back in time and considering these hypotheticals, but
I feel like if that hypothetical was our reality, we'd be having a different conversation right now. Like in 2022, when Jordan Poole took that leap and helped him win an NBA championship, like I thought I was watching the future of this franchise. Maybe not the future as in like this guy's the next Steph Curry, but like this guy's the next guy to carry this team on, or to help carry this team on to like still being a very good basketball team.
Yeah, I think we all were kind of in the same boat there, thinking that was going to be our future, as you're saying, of like watching Poole kind of be the next, just face of the franchise, this next leader for the franchise going forward. But yeah, they stuck to Kuminga through that this whole process, and Kuminga's a very talented player. We're seeing that kind of develop in front of us, and we can root for the player that is still in front of us in a Warriors uniform. So absolutely. Yeah, I'm in the boat that we should be committing more to these younger players, getting them more minutes, more moody minutes too. I hope to see when he's back on the floor. But yeah, it's an organizational question that they have to consider of how do we manage these young players right now when we have these very good stars that are aging. But like, I mean, that kind of brings us to the trade deadline and what the Warriors want to do, because if Kuminga's playing like this up until the trade deadline, do they try to cash out on high value to bring in another player?
Yeah, that's a very great point, because it's like, I feel like right now Kuminga's trade value is probably as high as it has ever been right now.
Yep.
And there, you know, there's been rumors that there's been chatter around the talking heads of the NBA, and that the Warriors want to pair Steph Curry with another star. But we've been hearing that, like we talk about this so much, like on and off air, but like they've been talking about pairing Steph with another star for a long time now, like since like KD left.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it's, I don't know like what's keeping the Warriors from pulling the trigger on making such a move like that. Is it like just the right deal's not there, or teams don't want to do business with them? I know with like the Paul George thing over the summer, the Warriors had like a very generous offer on the table, but the Clippers just simply didn't want to do business with the Warriors, which, you know, I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's a team that's in your conference, in your division too. Like, you see them a lot. They've been giving you hell the last, like, who knows how long now, but a while. Like, it makes sense that the Clippers feel a little salty towards the Warriors. And I feel like a lot of teams around the NBA might feel the same way, just because of like how dominant they were recently, you know, like in 2015, 16, and then you had the KD era where they're just like probably one of the best, not probably, they were one of the best teams ever assembled in sports.
Absolutely.
But now this is, you know, that was then, this is now.
Yeah, no, we're looking at a completely different roster now that has, yeah, all this young talent. And it, again, it just goes back to the question of what does the organization want to commit to? Do they want to commit to these aging stars and bring in other veterans, other stars even, to help kind of get them to another championship perhaps? I mean, of course, that's the goal. But like, if they can identify a player that they can, like, say, like, this is going to be our way to get a championship, is bring in this guy. And what does it cost, of course?
Yeah.
And the Warriors have young talent that they could possibly move.
Exactly. Which isn't necessarily the worst thing, like, or the worst place to be in, because, like you just said, they got talent to move. So they want to make that move. They could do it, you know, plus, like, whatever draft capital it'll cost. But the players, like, yeah, they got players. And which isn't something that we could say in the past, where they were like either rebuilding in a rough way, like in 2020, or they just were so top heavy that they couldn't really make a move.
Yeah.
But now we see, you know, the teams the hard part is for them to identify, like, who is that player that'd be worth trading, like, you know, let's say, like, you know, Jonathan Kuminga. Like, who's been playing great and has been a Warrior for a while now and kind of like understands like what Steve Kerr wants. But I think it's all about getting that, you know, playing basketball in June, like, especially when you got, like we were just saying, like, you got Draymond and Steph playing at a high level still, like, they still got some in the tank.
Yeah.
Like, I think they just got to take a good hard look at, you know, themselves and the team and be like, all right, like, what do we do?
I think that the Warriors are going to be active at the deadline. They are going to be looking for options. I think it's their intention that they want to move pieces to bring in another talented player around Steph. I don't think they're going to be going after any like huge name. But I think that they're going to be willing to make a reasonable move to bring in at the very least another point guard.
That'd be good.
Just some other point guard that can run the offense and just help them kind of settle that second unit out a little bit, because that can bring consistency to the rotations, to players' minutes, help them get a little bit more. Just like comfortable in a role. Just feel a little bit of consistency, because that helps with the mentals of the game.
Yeah,
it's just totally knowing what kind of consistency you can expect from your rotations and your minutes. And I mean, Moody's spoken around that more than a few times about like, hey, I'm just getting the minutes that I can get. I'm just happy to play and be here. But like, I'm sure he wouldn't say no to having consistent minutes.
Right.
And yeah, I think the Warriors are going to be active. I don't know what names are really out there that could even be a trade target at the deadline, but yeah. I feel like the Warriors are going to be actively looking, and we're going to hear a lot of rumors. It's probably going to be a lot of how do we move Podziemski and maybe Kuminga if it's a big enough name.
For sure. But
I think just from the top down, there's already been so much commitment to Kuminga over the years that it would just be super, super odd if they out of nowhere just traded him now, especially with how good he's been playing recently.
Yeah.
I think he would be just a little out of character for the organization to just randomly now decide it's time to trade Kuminga. It would have to be a very big name for me to be like, yeah, okay, that was a smart move. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see, because yeah, they have quite a lot of games left to play. Because what Warriors? Let's see. So they're playing the Timberwolves again on Sunday.
Correct.
You said? Okay.
And then after that,
or the Rockets, the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup on Wednesday. Okay.
On Wednesday.
And then the Grizzlies and Timberwolves again. Man.
Yeah, so it's kind of a tough stretch of games. And then they go to Indiana after that road game in Minnesota, which I don't know what to think about Indiana. I don't think I've watched the Pacers this year.
They have been struggling. They are not playing. Like. They're not really playing consistently right now, and there's a lot of chatter around. Tyrese Halliburton. He's not been playing up to the level that he's at the very least last year kind of known for.
Right.
But yeah, no, they've been struggling to just win games against what would be considered lesser opponents. Just given all the names on the roster, all the talent that they have on the Pacers, it is a little surprising seeing them in this position. I mean, they're 10-14. That's ninth in the East. So they're still in the play-in, but yeah, it's just a little concerning.
I mean,
there might be names on that roster that get talked about at the trade deadline. I don't know
Miles Turner's name has been thrown around every single trade deadline since the history of Miles Turner being in the NBA.
And there's going
great player too.
Oh no, he's fantastic, and I know for a fact I'm going to see at least one or two different rumors about the Warriors potentially making a package for Miles Turner, because he's been attached to the Warriors in free agency and trades for just endless years now.
Yeah,
it's just this recurring bit of like, oh, the Warriors are looking to trade for a good like big name center. Oh man. Oh, and then nothing happens because
of course,
something falls apart at the end.
Why would they make a trade for a big?
And then the Warriors end up trading for a guard and everyone's confused, but I wouldn't be confused this time if they traded for a guard.
This time they actually need a guard.
Yeah.
I've seen like in terms of, or just going to like the names that are rumored or connected with the Warriors recently, we've seen Nikola Vucevic's name pop up on some.
Oh yeah.
Some rumors. Jimmy Butler's name has been popping up since the off season. Which, like, a player like all right, Nikola Vucevic, would he fit on this team? Sure, yeah, I think so. Like, his game translates well. Like, he's been in the league for a long time. He's been a productive player during his time. I don't know how much it's gonna cost the Warriors to acquire Nikola Vucevic. I know the Bulls are saying like it's going to start at 2 second round picks, but Jimmy Butler. Now that's a name. That's a big name.
That's a big name.
And I don't know what that would cost the Warriors. Like, I'd assume it'd be Kuminga. I've heard some people throw Andrew Wiggins' name in like a hypothetical trade, and like Kuminga and Wiggins to me, like that's a pretty high price to pay, but especially because they're both having good seasons right now. But I don't know, we've seen Jimmy Butler take the Miami Heat, or help take them, because you know he had Bam Adebayo too and Tyler Hero, and you know Eric Spoelstra is an excellent coach, but he can kind of he has the ability to take over a game.
Yeah he has that star power, that star ability. I mean, he's just like an all-around good player, good defender. He can score pretty much at every level. It would cost the Warriors a lot to bring him in.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think... I don't think the Warriors should say no if the opportunity presents itself. Just because of what he can do for, like, just everywhere on the court, how effective he can be. I think it's something that they would absolutely have to pull the trigger on. If it costs Kuminga and Wiggins, yeah, you do that every time.
Yeah, I think, and that's like a very rare instance, I would say, in which that would be the case. Like, if it's not to diss Nikola Vucevic, but if the Bulls were like, yeah, give us Kuminga, Wiggins, 2 second round picks for Nikola Vucevic, I'd be like, no.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not.
But if it's Wiggins, Kuminga, and, you know,
some 2 second round picks,
XYZ, fill in the blanks, for Jimmy Butler, yeah, or like, you know, but like, that's the kind of name it would have to be.
Yeah.
In terms of what the point guard market is going to look like come the trade deadline, I don't know. I really have no idea who's going to become available and who is already available. But they sure do need that steady hand of like for ball handling in the second unit. I feel like Pajemski with the starting lineup. I mean, Pajemski all season has been pretty rough, but I feel like since Melton's been down, he's kind of been tasked with the responsibility of trying to be the ball handler.
Yeah.
And I think it's just not really working out. Like he's, like we were talking about earlier in the show with the turnover trouble. He's going for these crazy, crazy passes. Like, throwing the ball to like the 15th row, like,
oh yeah, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, like, and that's not to say he's like a bad player, because we've seen him be a good, very good basketball player. Like, he had a very good rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to build off of that, and that's kind of been like a reoccurring theme surrounding Brandon Pajemski this season, is like trying to one up his rookie season. But yeah, I don't know, that was a guy that the Warriors refused to trade in the offseason, and now it's kind of looking like he's untradeable
because no one wants him.
Like, if you're looking for a guy to try to take like 10 charges a game, like, he's your guy.
Yeah,
he'll get those calls too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's very capable of playing that.
He's very good at that.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the game last night, like, Lindy Waters got 20 minutes. He got 6 points, no rebounds, no assists.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes.
He might have
Pat Spencer got 7 minutes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's talk about Pat Spencer for a second.
he's a frequent face on the floor.
Now he is. It's kind of crazy, but I guess that's just where they're at right now, where it's like they're just looking for anybody to do anything positive, and it's not a good place to be if you have visions, or if you're envisioning on being in the playoffs. Like, right now, it's looking pretty, not to say to lose hope, because like, we've seen this roster do great things.
Yeah.
But I don't like what I am seeing recently, and I see trends in what I'm seeing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah, this past like 6 or 7 games, yeah, all these turnover issues, just the offense completely falling apart. And I mean, it kind of goes to the turnovers a lot, I think. I think that's a pretty big source of a lot of their problems, is on the offensive end specifically, because, I mean, those are lost possessions, of course. Like, those are just gone. But, like, you're not getting into any like offensive rhythm or flow, and it keeps getting broken up every time there's another turnover. Then you're chasing back down the other side, trying to get it back on defense.
Yep.
Usually and then doesn't matter
for something on the offense end because you're trying to get a quick bucket because you just lost the possession.
Yeah, and you're trying to do another full court pass because the only guy that ran back on defense after the last turnover is trying to get the ball on the other side of the court, so he launches it, and it's just this whole back and forth. And yeah, they've kind of just been spiraling into that same like pattern. And like there's only so much a coach can do, right? And saying just stop doing this thing.
Exactly.
Like the players just need to stop doing the thing.
Yeah. I was about to say, like, this isn't something that we can really put on the coaching staff or like Steve Kerr, because like it's not Steve Kerr's fault that, you know, somebody decided to throw a full court pass, guys like triple covered.
Yeah, to Lindy Waters in the corner, who's double covered for whatever reason.
Yeah, like
6 points.
I don't think that's in their playbook.
Yeah.
It's just
I think they're just never, this team has never been in rhythm in the past like 6 games. There's just never been like a point where I'm like, okay, they feel comfortable and in control of the ball and the offense. I mean, the first quarter is the only time I noticed it a lot, this game against the Timberwolves, but after the first quarter, kind of everything started to fall apart, and it the game just got away from them after. It never felt like they were, even when they were making it a close game, it never felt like they were actually going to like
pull it out,
follow through with that and actually make it a close game. It's like, oh, they got like within six, like, okay, like we just need to get a couple stops, and then the lead goes to 17 out of nowhere.
It's exactly. Like, then you know, they like, go what? On a, you know, the other team goes on a run, and then it's like, okay, well, there goes that.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just one game out of the season, but as you said, it's been a lot of games recently, and there's patterns in that. So
yeah, it's,
I don't want to say that the trade deadline and they need to trade a lot of players to just thin out the rotation and get more consistency, but that could be very helpful for the roster.
For sure.
Yeah. It's, again, I don't know who is even available, who they could even make a play for. And as much as, trading for Vucevic. Yeah, sure. That would be awesome. That would be great. But I want a point guard on this team.
Yeah, exactly. Because like I don't know. I don't think that the Warriors need to reinvent the wheel right now, because like we were just talking about earlier, like we've seen this roster look like a very, very good basketball team. Like they were so good to start off the season. Mm. Like, you know, they got it in them. Like we've seen it. They're missing a huge piece of that. And so they just need to like retool a little bit.
But that's somehow, a good word, retool.
Thank you. Somehow the Warriors are still out of the play-in situation. Let's take a look at the standings real quick. So here we are. We're at the West. So yeah, the Warriors are sitting at fifth place right now at 13-9, but it's very, you know, pin needle close between, you know, the 5 and 6 seed to the play-in tournament. So yeah, every game matters, especially we got 2 games coming up, both against Western Conference teams, with the Timberwolves on Sunday and then three games, I should say, Minnesota on Sunday, Houston on Wednesday for the NBA Cup quarterfinals, and then Memphis on Thursday. So those are going to be big. Those are all going to have implications on the standings. So I think we're going to see a lot of movement in the next week or so.
Yeah, just these next 3 games are going to be important to at least get 2 wins, just to keep themselves a little bit out of that play-in situation, because we've seen the Warriors in the play-in before, and it's never been pretty. It's never been a pretty situation. So yeah, I'd like for them to at the very least this year, stay out of the play-in tournament. That's exactly my one ask. I already allow too much stress to affect me from watching sports that a play-in game would just
that would just
bury me.
Yeah, like, and in terms of, like, you know, football right now, like 49ers, I kind of just, I'm like, I'm checked out. Like, I'm still, you know, I'm still watching the games and I'm rooting for the team, but, like, in terms of, like, you know, oh, they're going to make, you know, the Super Bowl run, like, I'm not getting my hopes up. Because I can't take that heartbreak one more time.
Yeah.
And no, the same could be said with the Warriors, with the play-in tournament.
Yeah. No, exactly. It's just like these teams, they put themselves in difficult situations for almost no good reason. Sometimes it's like, why did you put yourself here? Like, you could have done a lot of things to change this. And yeah, I think the Warriors have everything. They have everything, even right now, as this roster stands, to be a very good team, as you said.
Yeah.
And as we've watched early in the season, we just need to see them do that a little bit more.
Right.
And yeah, if things really start falling apart as they have been, then yeah, this team is going to go through probably a major overhaul at the trade deadline, because I don't think that they can waste another year, another season, not doing everything in their power to get another championship.
I agree. And I feel like that's just kind of where they are. Like, as a franchise, it's like, it's kind of a championship or bust, because, you know, what else are you going to do? Like,
yeah,
I feel like those are your only two options. You know, it's like, go for it all or rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's too early for them to really commit to a rebuild, just from what we've seen of Steph and Draymond so far. And that's why I'm kind of okay with them moving off of Kuminga if the piece is right.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, a lot of other players on this roster, I would be happy to, I wouldn't be upset seeing them go for a better return piece, of course. But it's something that we're just going to have to kind of sit and wait on, which kind of sucks. Like, we have to watch these stressful games, these next three games, as you said, in Minnesota, in Houston, in Memphis. Like, these are going to be more telling games of, like, what kind of team do the Warriors want to be, and what type of patterns are we going to see sustained, sadly.
I think this whole stretch of games up until the new year, I think it's going to tell a lot about, you know, where this team is at. And because, yeah, we got Minnesota, then Houston, then Memphis, then Minnesota again, and then Indiana. Played the Lakers on Christmas Day.
Nice.
Now, yeah, that's a good one. Then it's on the road against the Clippers after that. Then Phoenix and the Cavaliers. So that's a pretty difficult stretch of games. Like, Indiana might be, like, I think you got to have that one. That one's at home.
Yeah.
The Lakers one, that's a big game too, of course. You know, Christmas Day game. Steph versus LeBron. It's want that one. And you got to get some revenge on the Clippers. And even the Suns too. Like, that, the last time the Warriors played the Suns, that did not leave a good taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that was a hard one.
So yeah, I think, yeah, these next, I don't know, I think we're gonna know, like, where this team is at very soon.
And it might be in the same place where we're saying, well, the next stretch of games, we might find out where they really are.
Exactly. We might be saying that all the way until the trade deadline, and then if they do nothing at the trade deadline, then we might be saying this until the end of the season.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's frustrating because, like, the reason that we're saying that is because they had such a good start.
Yes.
It's just like, okay, we know what the high is. We know what they could be. And then when they play like shit, it's like, okay, you're going to play like this some games too. where are you going to be the rest of the season? Is it going to be somewhere in the middle, or are you going to be stuck swinging the pendulum both ways where it's like, okay, we have one good game, one absolutely terrible blowout game with 50 turnovers or whatever. Yeah.
We'll always hope because at one point in time, they were the number one seed in the Western Conference.
We have proof. There's picture evidence. It happened.
They were one of the power rankings. I remember. I was there.
I was there.
But yeah, until we see that all unfold, we just look forward to Sunday where they take on the Timberwolves again at Chase Center. That game is an early game. It's a 5 o'clock tip off.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. 5:30 tip off. Thank you. But yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm assuming they're going to make some adjustments. Kind of have to, but
yeah, I mean, I have to assume that the Warriors are beating the Rockets.
Yeah.
Since the Rockets haven't beat the Warriors since like COVID was the thing.
Right?
Yeah, that's been honestly the most rewarding part of the season is just knowing that the Rockets are coming up and that the Warriors have been just dominating them for years.
That's a pretty crazy streak too.
Yeah. Oh, it's wild. And it's been close games.
Yes.
It's been brutal games. I remember, was it last year where Steph had a buzzer beater game winner?
I don't know.
Where he had the little mid-range shot that he hit?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That was last year. Okay. Yeah.
And even the game they just played, it was like the score was like 99-93. Like, it's a pretty close game.
Yeah, it was a very close game. And then there was that other one that was like overtime that the Warriors won when they were leading by 30 and they came back.
Talk about that game all the time.
Oh my God. That was.
It was the worst win possible.
Oh, yeah.
Well, won.
The most stressful game.
And then every time the Warriors beat the Rockets, like the Daryl Morey tweets of like him congratulating the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
After beating the Rockets in like a brutal playoff series and the Rockets just like, you know, just exploding in the worst fashion ever. Like it always pops up, never fails.
They missed 27 threes in a row, lose a series. Congratulations to the Warriors. You deserved it.
Yeah, thanks.
It's like, why are you saying this?
Right? Does he have to say that? Like, no. Is he like mandated by the NBA? Like, oh, you got to congratulate. Like, it looked good. Like, I don't think I could. I couldn't stomach it. I would just go MIA on social media.
Oh, absolutely. For all the tough playoff series against the Rockets too, during the AD Warriors days and the Harden Rockets days, those were great series.
Those were a great series. And if there was one team in the West that could have possibly dethroned the Warriors during that time, it would have been the Rockets, but it wasn't the Rockets.
Yeah.
It just, even like when they had all things going for them, they just got in their own way.
Yeah, a little bit. Warriors were just consistent enough.
Yeah. Oh, good times.
Yeah. Some of the best.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see the Rockets soon, the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup, single game elimination. So that's going to be, I think it's going to be a very fun game. Probably another very close game too at that.
Yep. Should be.
That win streak alive. Would be nice to see, see the Warriors win the NBA Cup. That'd be cool.
Yeah, put up at least one banner.
Exactly. Put up one banner. That will be cool, I guess. Like, do they do a ceremony for that?
Didn't the Lakers do a little, like, a ceremony?
They did. And that.
I mean, they got clowned for it, I'm sure.
Yeah, they got clowned for it. It's like,
anyone who wins is putting up a banner.
Exactly. So. That's the whole thing. And it's so new that right now it looks goofy, but in like 20 years, when there's like, you know, 19 NBA cups, like it'll look a lot cooler, probably hold more weight. But right now it's definitely in its proving ground stage.
Yeah. Just how impactful this new event is during the season.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll see what happens Sunday. Do we want to talk about the Spurs for a second?
I'd love to talk about the Spurs for a second.
Let's talk about the Spurs. So let's pull up the standings again.
Uh-oh.
Notice anything?
Spurs almost in the play-in.
They're right there.
Right behind the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's... breathing down their neck. Wemby's been playing good ball, too.
They're there. They are... I mean, you especially, but like we've been pretty optimistic about the Spurs this season, but I think they're showing us that they are they're well ahead of schedule right now in terms of like, I don't know if rebuild is the right word, because like they have like, you know, the talent's there. I think they're just developing.
Yeah. Developing I think is a better word. And I mean, they're still developing the roster as a whole.
Totally.
There's a lot more retooling is another word you've used that they could do to improve the overall talent around Wemby right now, but they're doing it. They're doing the thing. They got the all world of talent, and he has them at almost 500. And yeah, almost in the play-in. I think they will have exceeded expectations if they make the play-in and if they get into a playoff series.
That would be crazy.
I will claim some sort of victory with my prediction of the three seed.
I think you should. I mean, even if they make just the play-in, I feel like you should claim that should be some sort of victory, because like, you were on that wagon first.
I am ready for the Spurs takeover to happen.
I think that
it might not be this year.
No, but that, you know, it's in motion, and that's a world-class organization, and they're smart. So I would not be surprised if this retool or development phase of theirs is expedited, because it looks like they already got a stud point guard in a Stephon Castle.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Learning from one of the best to ever do it with Chris Paul. So I think that's just another chess move by the Spurs.
Yeah. Man, after we're done recording here, I'm going to lurk on the trade calculator and just see how, if possible, for the Spurs to trade for Brandon Ingram.
Oh.
Just to see.
Yeah.
If there is
crunch
some things that could get moved around, just some pieces, something I'll look into.
Yeah. Well, let's look into that. I think that's going to wrap things up for us right now. Thank you all again for taking the time to listen to us and for your continued support as always. If you haven't already, please like, comment, rate, subscribe, the whole works right there. But yeah, thank you guys for listening again. And we'll see you next time. Have a good day, everybody.